Good Friday service. This is my first tenebrae. I've never done this before. But I know it's going to be a very meaningful time for everyone here tonight. And just to let you know that Jesus, according to the scriptures, he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on this Friday. We call it Good Friday. I don't know how you can call it Good Friday, but it's Good Friday because when he did it for us. And salvation, forgiveness of sins, for us could come no other way than for him to do what he did for us. So I just want to let you know that at the very end of the service tonight, all the lights will go off. And when you hear the slamming of the book, the Bible up in the front, when you hear the slamming of the Bible, you're dismissed. So there'll be nothing said, like, you're now dismissed. It's just when you hear the slamming of the book, you can hang around if you want, to meditate, to just think about some things, or you just can get up and leave. We'll have bouncers at the door that no one leaves smiling. No, it's fine. But just remember, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And the resurrection, we will hear about a little bit about that on Sunday. But let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight knowing that your word is going to guide us and teach us and hopefully, Lord, come inside of our hearts and our lives. And be reminded in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament what Jesus Christ, your Son, was your idea, Lord, to come and to save those who are lost, those who are sick because of sin, those who need a doctor, who need a hospital, and that's everybody. You did not come, Lord, for the righteous. You came for those who are hurting and who need a Savior. Those who realize that sin has made them a slave to sin. And you've come to set us free. Thank you for going to the cross in our place. And be with each person that is here tonight. Use this time, Lord, in a way that may even surprise us. We didn't come tonight for this reason, as when we leave, of the impact of your word, the power of your word, and the things that are done tonight. Thank you that what happens here, Lord, will make us appreciate more Sunday morning when we celebrate your resurrection. And so be with us now tonight. Be with those that have a part, whatever it may be. May they be blessed, as all of us. See you in the way you want us to be seen in our lives tonight. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
responsive reading tonight comes from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Stricken by God, smitten by him, yet afflicted.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities.
The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. First word tonight comes from Luke 23, 32 to 34. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Thank you. to 43. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at them. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you'll be with me in paradise." The third word is John 19, 19 through 27. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. The fourth word comes from Matthew 27, 45 through 49. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." Which no one has ever ridden. untie it, and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell him, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. Came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. Thank you. seventh word comes from John chapter 19, verses 30 through 37. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. The final scripture tonight is John 19, 38 to 42. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.